then one of the busy pubs that really I rather liked was the Brewery Tavern.
And that was situated whereabouts, please?
Well, if you are down in Brook Street and walk a little way along, just before you get to Anglesey Road, on the right-hand side is the converted, what was the old fire station. If you leaned your back against the front door of that place, you'd be looking up, what's the name of it? Paget Road? Paget?
Yes.
Terrace. And on your left, facing you, would be the Brewery Tavern. And on the right, a brick wall that curves around into a cottage that's at the very beginning of Anglesey Road.
So it would be joining up Brook Street and Anglesey Road. It's that house on the corner. I can picture it. Yeah. I know which house, yes.
Yeah. It's been turned into, I think, flats, and there may be some financial advisor there or some such.
And that was your pub of choice?
Yeah, and it was floorboards and a bit, sort of one or two pegs down from the station. The person who was running it, Jack Cross, was a teacher, and his brother had joined him in the village with his wife. And Jack also was a painter, but somehow he never seemed to be quite as successful as his brother Roy. Nevertheless, he was a pretty good teacher, I think, and he taught down at Dovercourt. And he was quite a good writer. So there was a multi-talented family, I guess.
Mm.
So this pub, the Brewery Tavern, it was Jack's idea, with support from his brother, to hold an art exhibition there. There were enough artists around to be of interest. And this was unheard of.
In a pub, an art exhibition?
Yeah. In 1963, perhaps. It hadn't been heard of, literally. And ultimately, the first exhibition, when it got out, it was visited by ITV at the time. And there were a number of artists gathered there, or people who just admired art, or in a way weren't looking for chatting and chewing over last night's television in the pub. Because the people you talked to there were interesting people, or interested in you, and it wasn't just about mundane. And I'm not saying it was all intellectual, but it was a place to talk.
And again, it was local with no people in there.
Yes, there were locals. Plus, of course, were the artists. Most of the artists weren't from Wivenhoe. A few. John Dan and Phil Dan. They were both potters, I think, and teachers. Of course, teaching, because few people earned a living at painting, however hard you try. Certainly at the beginning, when you haven't sold many paintings. So, yeah, there were two established painters who lived on the quay, and I think, I'm not sure if Dennis Worth Miller is still, no, he's passed away as well. So Dickie Chopping and Dennis Worth Miller were the original painters, I think, in Wivenhoe.
And they were drinking at the Brewery Tavern around this time?
They did come in there, yeah. But they were, even at that time, they were quite successful painters. And Dennis Worth Miller, certainly the Queen Mother had got some of his paintings in her collection. And Dickie Topping was illustrating the, amongst other things that he did. Well, he was the head of the one of the colleges in London, but he was illustrating Ian Fleming's books, the covers.
So it almost seems though, it's this tiny, small North Essex estuary town. Somehow it had its own little life cycle going off that seemed to match something that might have been happening like in Soho or like West London. So it's the 60s were kicking in. I don't think we can really glamorise this and say, you know, Wivenhoe was the absolute epicentre of rock and roll in the 60s. But there seemed to be something happening here. So art in pubs and semi-famous artists, and the conversation was a bit more different from last night's football.
And a sort of equality that you didn't find, although it's not wasn't absolutely ideal equality, but we were doing our best and it was better than most other places.
So how long did these exhibitions continue for the brewery? Was this a regular thing?
Oh yeah, probably every 6 or 8 weeks there'd be an exhibition, because they did succeed, and lots of little red spots would appear after a week or so. And then Jack and Pat decided that it was actually running the pub was getting a bit too much, and I think Jack was getting a bit tired as well, because commuting to Harwich and doing his job teaching and coming back and late nights in the pub. So he decided to pack up being the landlord of a pub. And most people were really a bit, oh God, this can't happen. We're losing a big slice of our lives here. So a plan was formed. Now, I can't say the originator of that plan, but I think it was Jack and Roy and maybe John Dan and Pam. But they were all skint. And George Gale, who was a prominent columnist at that time and who lived up at the Ballas Quay house, and he had not long acquired Ballas Quay. And it had some outbuildings which had been tap rooms and stables and such like, but they were empty and cluttered with all sorts of rubbish, I guess. Quite a bit of work went on, and it was floored with good pine flooring and polished, and then the walls were refurbished. It was completely made over until ultimately we had a wood-lined gallery with good lighting at one end, and these were all long rooms of reasonable width, probably about 30 feet wide, and the whole building was in the outbuildings were in a U shape, a square U, so that when you walk towards them from the house, both left and right, there were left, there would be a row of little cottages which faced down Anglesey Road. And on the right would be the tack rooms, and right across in front of you is the bottom of the U, if you like, was this quite long and stables unit. And this was made over into two rooms, a bar and a part gallery, and then one large gallery. And as I say, all done in the, pine lined, and pretty decent. And the opening, there was a lot of planning, and the opening exhibition was, well, the whole club and the exhibition was opened by the leader of the opposition at that time, Ted Heath, who was well acquainted with George Gale, I think. There was one item in that, I may have mentioned this before, the one that burns into my memory was that this was the first, one of the first glimpses of Scarf's Chairman Mao. I don't know if you've ever seen that sculpture. It was actually a plush leather armchair at first sight, but the whole of the leather was made over into a belly and a button and a distinctly Mao-like face at the top of the back of the chair, and Chairman Mao, the arms on the armrest, but the whole thing just looked right. And it's now exhibited, I believe, in the Tate. It was some 2 or 3 years back, it was at the opening of the London Cartoon Gallery. And I actually phoned up Scarf a few weeks ago. I sorted out his phone number. He lives somewhere near the South End area. And very kindly, I asked him if he remembered being in Wivenhoe, and he said yes. He made it in the early 60s, and it was exhibited at the opening, if I remember correctly, sometime in the late 60s.
So this was 66 was the opening?
Yeah.
We can pinpoint that down to 1966.
Well, I'm just beginning to have doubts about my memory now.
It does seem to be very much of its time. So that is really the formation of the Wivenhoe Arts Club, Lewis.
Yes.
Was there anything written down, any constitution, any aims? Was there any direction? Or was it just a case of, here's the space, let's make it up as we go along?
I think, not being an artist, I did get involved a bit because a great hobby of mine at that time was picture framing. It was, the constitution as such, I can't remember even reading it, but the discernible aim was for the betterment of art and the artists of Wivenhoe, and a place to exhibit their work and then meet and talk and
drink.
Drink, oh yes, drink was very important. Name an artist's work, isn't it?
Because that was one of your roles at some stage, I gather. You were involved with the bar.
Yes, I managed the bar for some time. There have been a series of people managing the bar, and it's not something that you would do on a permanent basis because it's an unpaid situation. Although subsequently people were paid, like Pat and Jack, as they were the first, they ran the bar for the first few years. And then when we didn't have a permanent staff, as it were, we took it in turns to manage it.
When did this reputation come along of it being quite a place of, let's put this politely, wild things taking place? Was this right from the start, or did it just grow into it?
Quite soon after it started, it was a place where there weren't drunken orgies, although people of the Wivenhoe who didn't belong to the club or fondly dreamed that these were the things that were happening. You know what artists are like.
Because in one of the earlier broadcast, we spoke with Victor Williamson, who hasn't come from an artistic background, and he was quite open saying he was interested in drinking and football, and for him the arts club, it was somewhere to go once the pub's closed. And
yes.
So it was it quite inclusive like that?
Oh,
it was an open door?
Yeah. It was somewhere to go after the pubs had closed. And it could go on till the early hours of the morning. Whoever goes out last, put the keys under the mat, sort of thing. But it didn't always happen like that. This was an aspect that could happen. But there wasn't just about the visual arts. We did have music recitals there. Every year there was a very clever production called Gallery Gaieties, which was around the Christmas period. That Jack used to write, which was a series of sketches that were both funny and artistic. Jack went on to write one or two other things, a book on cricket, what's her name? Names keep escaping me, I'm afraid. But he did run a quiz show on television a while back. We did used to drink quite a bit sometimes, but it was not exclusively about drinking. And if somebody else joined us up there after closing time down the village, so be it. Nobody was particularly worried about that. And some nights we wouldn't, and some nights... weekends, perhaps, we'd go a bit wild. Still the home of quite a bit of artistic endeavour.
So art was actually produced there? It was a workshop situation for artists?
It was the focus of artistic endeavour, really. Nobody actually painted there. Well, here and there in the afternoon, I think one or two artists did give some lessons up in the gallery. But it was not a workshop for anybody other than those. It was a useful place to have a few lessons for amateur painters. People like Pam Dan, I think, may have given lessons there.
And in terms of access, was it an open all-hours situation? So it wasn't just maybe in the evenings it was open. This was a building that you could wander into during the day or in the evening?
No, it was... mainly evening openings, but for art exhibitions, then it would be at the weekend that it would be open all day. Or, well, if it were Pam who were giving art lessons in the gallery, she would have keys and just a private thing for herself and her pupils. So, no, it wasn't open all hours. It was an evening thing, and if I recall, at one point it wasn't every evening. That's a finer point I can't remember.